This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on the Dave Congleton Show at 920 KVEC News Talk, also 96.5 FM. We've got with us Laura Carno of the Coloradans for Civil Liberties. We got her here to talk about the FASTER project. But since we're talking books, I look at your website, Laura, and I see you have a book. So why don't you plug your book really quickly before we get into the other stuff?
Yeah, I actually do. I have a book called Government Ruins Nearly Everything. And I make the case for if we see big problems in our society that we really want fixed, we wake up every day hoping that they're better, why would we turn them over to the government to fix? We are in a much better position as ordinary citizens to fix problems, both big and small.
It's the old Ronald Reagan line, the scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Right, exactly. Exactly right.
Okay, before we get into FASTER Colorado, I just want to do a public service notice for those Californians here, because I was in the Central Valley for the 4th of July. My sister-in-law lives right across the street from a big fireworks show they put up in Clovis, and I was talking with some people that, you know, they invite there all the time, and a friend of mine has an AR-15. I said, so did you register your AR-15? He says, what do you mean? It was registered when I bought it 5 years ago. I said, well, you had to re-register it as of June 30th, or you're a felon. He says, what are you talking about? Well, he was a felon until he got home later that day and took his gun apart. So if you have an AR-15 and you did not register it again as of June 30th here in the great state of California, you're a felon. Please remove the upper from the lower and don't tell anyone about it. Okay. Laura, you guys there in Colorado, you do something called FASTER Colorado. And here in California, we have, up until about 3 or 4 years ago, it was legal for people with a concealed carry permit to carry on school campuses. In response to basically nothing, the California legislature removed that exception for concealed carry holders, because no concealed carry holder had ever drawn a gun, ever discharged a gun, or anything like that on a school campus. But they removed that ability, and they allowed schools, if they wished, to allow teachers or faculty to carry on campus. And they didn't think anyone would take them up on that until about 5 school districts in this state did. And then they passed a law eliminating that exception. So that is the state of play here in California. Colorado, it's a little bit different. Can you tell us what kind of the situation is in Colorado as far as law-abiding citizens being able to carry or whatnot on school campuses, or how that works there in Colorado?
Sure. In Colorado, and this is very similar to about 32 other states, there is some lawful process in 32 or so states, things change every day, for the school board or the administration, for somebody within that school system to authorize certain individuals to carry concealed on campus. So it's very different from me as a concealed carry holder in Colorado, who doesn't work at a school. I couldn't just walk onto a K through 12 school campus with my lawfully concealed carry firearm. That's not what our law does.
Okay.
But what it says here in Colorado is that you can be authorized, a school employee can be authorized to be part of the security team, is how the law reads, and carry concealed on campus. So we hear a lot, especially since Parkland and the president mentioned this, we hear the phrase armed teachers. And in reality, only about 40% of the folks that we know about nationwide who carry concealed on campus are actually teachers who are dedicated to a classroom and a group of kids. The others are somewhere else in the school. They're the janitor or a coach or the principal, the lunch lady, somebody who's not tied to a classroom. So in Colorado, it's been lawful for 15 years for schools to authorize individuals to carry, and we've had no problems at all. In Ohio, where my training program came from, we can talk about that's what I do. I offer a training program. Right after Sandy Hook, our friends in Ohio started an organization called Faster Saves Lives. And it's a training program, and the word FASTER actually stands for something. It's Faculty Administrator Safety Training and Emergency Response. And when they first offered that right after Sandy Hook, they said, we have to have somebody there who can stop this killing as soon as somebody starts their crime. And they said, if we only train one person, it'll be worth it. They put out their first class of 24 spots, and they had 2,500 people in Ohio apply for it. So
these were 2,500 faculty, so teachers and administrators and other people who work on school campuses.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So that launched it back now going on 6 years ago. Last year, I brought that same training curriculum here to Colorado. So I'm going into my second training year. And we've had two classes already this summer. We've got another scheduled in August. So what we say is, if you are authorized to carry on campus, we want you to have the best possible chance of saving lives if, God forbid, the worst happens. So please come to our training for free if necessary. Lots of these schools don't have the budget for it, so we raise private money to do this for free.
So how many students are in an average class?
So we also book a full class of 24.
Okay.
So we'll be we'll have trained close to 100 by the end of this season, and we are looking at probably offering more classes. We're here to meet the demand that's out there, and specifically after Parkland, a lot of school boards said we need to start looking at this. So lots of school boards are in process right now of creating some big public process, so lots of people in the community can weigh in.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone I'm talking to right now authorized armed staff, we'd probably have to add two or three more classes yet by the end of the year.
Okay. So what is involved? What does this training look like? How many days does it take? How many hours is the training? Is it how much of it's, looking at books or in a classroom? And how much is it in kind of what I guess would be the equivalent of a lab or a range or something like that?
Yeah, so it's about 28 hours. So it's a 3-day class, but they're 3 long days. We start with mindset training, and what mindset, you can think about it this way. If the person walking into your class trying to harm your children was your favorite kid yesterday, but he's trying to harm your kids today, he's no longer your favorite kid. There is a mindset shift that you have to have there. Mm-hmm. So we take them through the history of these armed, deranged killers, and it's a very sobering morning. So we take them through all of that. We take them through medical training. In Sandy Hook, it was 45 minutes before medics were cleared to enter the building. How many could have been saved if we had people who knew how to apply tourniquets, for example, and the equipment to go with that? So we do the medical training, and we send them back. Each participant has a trauma kit with everything that we train them on. And then most of the rest of the time is spent on firearm skills. And at the end of the 3 days, they qualify at the same level as a Colorado law enforcement member when they graduate from the academy in their handgun proficiency. So we're not saying that they're going to be a cop, but in that one narrow skill of dealing with an active killer, we make them actually take that same test. We add 2 additional shots to the test, and we make them pass it at 100%. So it's a pretty grueling 3 days. It's very emotionally and physically demanding, but everybody at the end of it says, man, I feel prepared. If something happens, I'll know what to do.
Okay, great. If you've got a question for Laura, please feel free to give us a call, 543-8830. You can also text us your question if you're a little microphone shy at 805-543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We'll be back to talk more about Faster Colorado and training teachers to save lives on campus. This is the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 AM and 96.5 FM. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 KVEC and 96.5 FM. We're talking with Laura Carnow of Coloradans for Civil Liberties and Faster Colorado. If people want to find out more about this or even to, you know, donate to this kind of training for teachers, it would be Colorado, sadly, and not California. Where can they go online?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Folks can go to fastercolorado.com. If you think about it this way, the faster you stop the killer, the faster you stop the bleeding, the fewer people die. fastercolorado.com. And we do get a lot of folks from around the country helping out in states where it's just not lawful and they can't do anything about it. They still want kids safe somewhere. So we really appreciate folks donating.
So I've talked to people. I've been on the Dave Congleton Show here before with people who are very much anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment. Think that basically we should ban all semi-automatic firearms was the last one I was at, and the idea that a good guy with a gun is kind of a myth. What is the background of the people who are taking these classes? Are these people who were like former military, who are doing their second career? Are these people who've got a background in hunting, or are there some people coming to you who are gun novices really?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let me take a step back and let you know what happens when a school district says we're going to authorize staff. First of all, they say, who wants to volunteer for this? And it sort of busts another myth that you hear mostly on national media, where people say you can't make teachers carry guns. Okay, nobody's making anybody carry a gun. When a school district decides to authorize, they say, who wants to raise your hand and do this? So if you think about it that way, the folks who volunteer, they're already more comfortable with firearms than average, or they wouldn't be raising their hand in the first place. So the folks who do register for our classes have much more experience with firearms than just the average Joe or even the average concealed carry holder. And we do have 9.2% of our adult population in Colorado has a concealed carry permit. So, we're a very concealed carry friendly state. So, but we do end up with some folks who they've hunted all their lives, but they've just never gotten around to carrying a handgun with them, never gotten around to getting their concealed carry permit. So sometimes, you use the word novice, sometimes I'll call that person a novice because they haven't been carrying a concealed handgun. Hunting with a rifle and carrying a concealed handgun, those are just two different skills. If somebody comes to us with kind of lower skill level, we ask them to get some more training before they come to Faster, because Faster's not at all considered an entry-level firearms class at all. But those are very, very few and far between. Occasionally, we get some former police and former military. For the most part, it's just ordinary folks who don't have anything in their background like that, but have already made a decision in the rest of their lives to carry a concealed firearm to defend themselves and the family if need be.
So about a little under 10% of Coloradans have a concealed carry permit already.
Colorado adults.
I was going to say that goes without saying, but I guess nowadays it doesn't go without saying. So can you describe kind of what the firearm training that they go through, that people in this class go through, that's different than what they would get at a entry-level concealed carry course?
Yeah, sure. And let me back up and tell you about our trainers, and this will be really helpful. So all of our instructors are active duty law enforcement trainers with SWAT experience. Two of them are currently in SWAT leadership positions, and they train SWAT members. So if you think about how law enforcement would train, how law enforcement trainers would train law enforcement to stop a killing, and how they would train SWAT members to go in and stop an active killer, those are the same kinds of things that they do. So, for example, in a normal concealed carry class. And I know that that's not normal in California. They're fairly common here. But in a concealed carry class, you would learn basic safety, the basic operation of your firearm, different manners of making sure that you hit your target, your stance, your grip, that sort of thing. Where we go in FASTR is exactly what they would teach law enforcement in handgun proficiency. So it's not just safety and the operation of your firearm and accuracy, but it's also clearing malfunctions. It's moving and shooting. It's what's called positional shooting, which means behind a barricade or on your knees or in a prone position. So all of those different kinds of things. During the test at the end of the class, we actually force malfunctions to happen. And within a very short period of time, they have to clear the malfunction, reload their firearm, and shoot a fire a shot or two, depending on which part of the test it is, exactly on the target where they're supposed to. So it's accuracy. It's a high pressure situation, even though it's just training, and they know that there are no lives on the line. It's a very high pressure situation for them. And like I say, at the end of it, we make them shoot a course that is two shots more than what police have to pass to get out of the academy here in Colorado, and we make them pass at 100%. So that helps the community with a comfort level that not only are all of our instructors active duty law enforcement trainers, but that these folks have to pass a very stringent test, and not everybody passes the class.
We're here with Laura,
that's okay.
We're here with Laura Carno of Coloradans for Civil Liberty and FASTR Colorado on the Dave Congleton Show. We will be back after this break. If you've got a question for Laura, you want to know more about it, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. This is KVEC News Talk 920. Pastoral is going to use that for marketing purposes. Great wine and not quite as hot as the surface of the sun. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 KVEC. We're talking with Laura Carno of Coloradans for Civil Liberties about FASTR Colorado. If you've got a question for her or interested in talking about arming teachers of all people, give us a call, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. If you've got a question, you can also text us at 805-543-8830. So, Laura, you mentioned that students can fail your class. What's the ratio usually of students that don't make it the first time?
Yeah, and so in the experience we've had here in Colorado, which matches the experience that they've had over more years in Ohio, 1 to 2 students in each class. The classes that I've seen, one in Ohio and then the going on 5 now, or 4 that we've had here in Colorado, they're not failing it miserably. It's failing it by a little bit. So they get the same opportunity as law enforcement going through the academy to get remediation training and then try it again. So just because somebody failed the test, usually just by 1 or 2 shots, it doesn't mean that they can never carry on campus, but they just might need some remediation training. Now, I've heard from our friends in Ohio who've been doing this for going on 6 years that they've had a couple of people through their classes, and consider they've going into the summer training season, they've trained over 1,400 school staff in Ohio in the past 5 years, so they've got a bigger pool. And they've had a couple here and there that they just said this person is not right for this program, and they failed them and recommended to their school district that they shouldn't be armed on campus. So we haven't had that situation here, but we're certainly we want to make sure that only the right people get through.
So are as far as the background goes on this, what sorts of things are done, or do these students need to? Students / teachers,
right,
and administrators need to kind of demonstrate before they come to you. I assume that there's criminal background checks and that sort of stuff that happens just as part of their employment as a teacher or working
exactly
on a campus. Are there any kind of psychological testing or anything like that that they've got to go through as well, or?
Yeah, so you're right. They have a criminal background check just to be with our students in the classroom anyway, unarmed. And so whatever else the school does to hire them, they've got that. Then they have to have their concealed carry permit through the state of Colorado, which is another background check. Beyond that, and that's all the law says. Beyond that, it's up to the school. There are schools that say we want them to go through some psychological testing for fitness to carry a firearm. And that's fine. That's up to the school if they want to do that. Most schools, though, they say, gosh, we trust you with our children, with their minds. Of course, we trust you with defending them. And here's what's interesting, Matt, is these are school employees who, given a situation where they have to defend their kids, if they aren't on a campus where armed staff is permitted, they use the only thing they have, which is their body, to defend children against bullets. And these aren't their own kids, they're other people's children. But in their minds, these are their kids and they need to protect them. So these are people who would die to protect children. What we're saying is, shouldn't they have an option to protect the kids and live? And I think about that coach, Aaron Feast, in Parkland, Florida, mm-hmm. who shielded children with his body and saved children, but he didn't get to go home. He didn't get to go home to his wife and kids. Why couldn't he have had an opportunity to protect those same kids, maybe protect the kids who got killed after Coach Feast, and then lived to go home to his family? And those are some of the things we think about. When a bad guy starts his crime, having somebody there who's able to stop him as close as possible to when he begins the crime, that way there's fewer people who die, fewer people who are injured.
Well, here in Colorado, we kind of insist that the teachers die because the politicians in Sacramento think that's best. Just for the record, my wife is a high school teacher. She's got not an extensive background with firearms, but she'd certainly rather have a gun on her than do what the school district there tells her to do, which is throw staplers, which is really encouraging to me as her husband.
Right.
One of the arguments I've seen suggested against having teachers carrying firearms on campus seems focused more on high schools than elementary schools. But it's this argument that, look, some of these kids are huge. Think the, linemen on the football team. 6'5", 240 pounds. If he knows a teacher has a gun, he's going to take it from them if he wants to. Is kind of being able to secure your firearm and knowing, that sort of stuff part of this class? Because it seems to me it seems to me, as someone who thinks that's not a very good argument as a whole, that is a great argument against having a lot of women cops, because they are generally smaller than football linemen. And if it's just an issue of pure physical force, then we shouldn't probably have women cops, let alone, teachers concealed carry.
Right. And so the first thing you said there was if they know which teacher has a gun. There are, I don't know of any schools that when they authorize armed staff, say, and it's Mrs. Jones and Mr. Smith and Coach Johnson, they don't say that. They make a statement to their community, to their parents, that we've enhanced our security with armed staff, and that's it. So the kids shouldn't know who's carrying. We also teach, and part of the classroom training is about concealed carry techniques. And again, most people come to the class already being a concealed carry holder and thinking about how they're going to do that. What if you have little kids? What if you're a kindergarten teacher? And those little kids come hug their teacher every day, then what? Mm-hmm. So we teach all of those techniques. So, and we say concealed means concealed. No, nobody should see this gun ever. Okay, so what if, when we train against the what ifs anyway, what if a student finds out, sees where you're carrying it, knows where you're carrying it, and tries to take it? We also teach day three within our force-on-force scenarios. We wrap this up with scenarios of things that could happen so that they get to play that out in sort of role-playing exercises. We teach them weapon retention techniques. Just like police officers learn, you know, if a bad guy gets your gun, and it's even more common with a police officer because he or she open carries, and
right.
Everybody knows exactly where that gun is. But we teach that anyway. It's not happened in any of the news stories that we have been able to find where a student has been able to even attempt to take away a firearm from an armed school staff member, yet we teach weapon retention anyway. So it's one of those things that's often thrown out. And we have a couple of documents at our Faster Colorado website. One is a frequently asked questions document that you can just open up and print and take with you to your school board. And the other one is busting the myths. Lots of myths like we can't make teachers carry, what if a student gets a gun, those kinds of things. So it's just good information for parents to be equipped with when they go talk to their school board.
So as far as the school boards in Colorado, the ones that are more open to teachers and administrators kind of being a first line of defense on campus, is it the more kind of rural districts, or are we talking about, you know, it seems to me like Boulder probably isn't one that's sending a lot of teachers your way.
Right. Yeah, rural school districts have always been the early adopters to armed staff. And it's because they've done the math and said, holy cow, we're 30 minutes or 45 minutes away from law enforcement. Also, their communities are probably more accepting of concealed carry in general. But what's interesting is the suburban districts are starting to do the math, too, and saying, well, wait a second. If we have 5-minute response to local law enforcement and most of these things are over in 3 to 5 minutes, then what? So suburban school districts are starting to think that through. But you're right, Boulder School District, probably not going to be the next one to call me and say, hey, we'd like to send staff. But for parents, this isn't political. Parents want their kids returned alive every day, not most days. And they don't think that's a high bar. So parents are really going to be the ones driving their school boards to make these decisions.
So another argument I've heard, again, and this sounds like the training is concealed carry of handguns for teachers. Are there any districts that you know, take that a step further and possibly have thought about, you know, AR-15s or something in locked containers in the administration building, locked safes in the administration building, or is it... I guess I'm trying to figure out kind of what is the strategy. There's a school shooter on your school's campus, and you've got multiple people on that campus who've been trained by Faster Colorado. Do the ones who've been trained hunker down in their classrooms, lock the door, and wait for the school shooter to try to break down the door before they engage? Or when that happens, are the armed teachers running to the sound of gunfire, or is it something in between?
Yeah, and it all really depends, and we walk them through lots of different scenarios, most of which we don't telegraph publicly because we don't want the bad guys knowing these tactics, mm-hmm. but it really depends on where you are, where the kids are, if you are responsible for a classroom full of kids. You know, it's different if it's during class period versus during recess and where you are versus where the bad guy is. But back to your question about rifles, there are some districts that have school resource officers who are sworn law enforcement officers and other full-time armed security who have rifles in their cars or in locked places within the school district, so that if, God forbid, something happened, they might get there before the cops get dispatched, and they want to have that sort of equipment as well. So not very many school districts have that, just a couple. But again, that's not in the hands of the armed school staff.
Okay. We're talking with Laura Carnoves, Coloradans for Civil Liberty and Faster Colorado. If you've got a question for her, give us a call, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Text us at 805-543-8830. This is Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on The Dave Congleton Show, KVEC News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM.
Back porch preacher preaching at me, acting like he wrote the golden rule, shaking his fist and speeching at me, soapbox like a fool. Come Sunday morning, he's lying in bed with his eyes all red from the wine in his head, wishing he was dead when he ought to be heading for a Sunday school.
It's Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton on The Dave Congleton Show, KVEC News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM. We are talking with Laura Carno of Faster Colorado and the Coloradans for Civil Liberties. If you've got a question for Laura, give us a call, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832, or text us, 805-543-8830. Laura, the very first kind of school shooting in this country that, you know, most of us remember was Columbine, and that was there in Colorado. Have we learned the right lessons from that shooting as far as how to keep our kids safe? And how to respond to these sorts of active shooter situations?
Yeah, we've learned a lot since then. It's been 19 years since Columbine. And interestingly, one of the students of Columbine, the first student shot in the library who survived, is an advocate for what we're doing here at Faster. And he stops by our classes and addresses the school staffers who are going through the class and thanking them. And it's kind of an emotional section of the class, thanking them for what they're doing because he knows exactly what they're signing up for, having been a victim of a school shooting. So we've learned a lot. Columbine taught law enforcement a lot. It's sort of the first time we it taught law enforcement not to just surround the perimeter and wait for SWAT, but to go in. People are dying. Children are dying. But we haven't learned enough. And what we continue to learn, and, you know, Parkland and Santa Fe being the two latest, what we're learning is that the closer somebody is to where it starts, who can stop it, the fewer people die. And we had another shooting here in Colorado at a high school in 2012 at Arapahoe High School. And Claire Davis lost her life. One very sweet young woman lost her life. And it was only one because they had a school resource officer who sprinted toward the sound of trouble. And as soon as the bad guy saw the school resource officer, a uniformed and armed a member of law enforcement, he committed suicide. Only Claire Davis died. But if you are Claire Davis's family, that is one too many. If you're a Coloradan, that is one too many. But we learn from that most of these guys end it themselves when they're confronted with armed resistance. But they never start their crime in front of an armed and uniformed security guard, just like criminals outside of school never start their crime right in front of a cop. They want to get away with their crime, right? So even in schools that have school resource officers, we still advocate for additional armed staff. And when I talk to school resource officers, I hear over and over, not from all of them, but I hear this enough to know that it's out there. They say, I wish in my school there were more armed staff because I can't cover the whole campus. And the fact remains, if you are a school that qualifies for a school resource officer, meaning has the budget for a school resource officer, you're a pretty dang big school.
Is the state legislature there in Colorado doing anything to kind of supplement those funds? You know, given... It seems like we're getting more and more copycats because, you know, again, the statement I heard Hugh Hewitt say a long time ago, what gets rewarded gets repeated. And
right.
So when the media makes these people famous, with the Virginia Tech shooter, when he mailed his manifesto and everything to, I believe it was ABC News. ABC News starts, you know, showing it on the air. They post it online. They spend time, you know, kind of glorifying him, frankly, is what it looked
right.
like. Is the state legislature doing anything to kind of increase funding for school resource officers? Have school districts been kind of approaching them and say, hey, you know, we want to train staff. Give us money to train staff to defend our kids too? Or is this something that's just district by district? Because it seems from California, I realize that Colorado's more conservative than California, but just about everywhere is more conservative than California.
Right, yeah, not by much. We've got a very divided legislature, and we did lose some rights in 2013, which is, you know, why I started Clarence for Civil Liberties in the first place. But back to your question, some states are putting, like Florida put just a whole bunch of more money into school resource officers after Parkland. We in Colorado during this legislative session had some discussions about that that ended up going nowhere. I would like to see, I hope for a future when the state legislature, which pays the salaries of state employees who work in state buildings called schools, that at some point they will see that having armed staff that is very well trained like we do at Faster Colorado is a legitimate purpose of training dollars. I'm hopeful for that day. However, I am not waiting for that day. We are raising private money so that no school that has armed staff will have to go without this life-saving training. And it's just the reality of where it is today. And that's what Ohio started doing five plus years ago, when right after Sandy Hook, they just didn't have time to do anything with the legislature. They just needed to get people trained to save lives.
Why don't you give us the website once more if people want to contribute funds to training teachers in Colorado, at least, or, you know, they're saving kids somewhere. Give us that website again.
Yep. It's fastercolorado.com, F-A-S-T-E-R, fastercolorado.com. And if anyone wanted to get in touch with me other than that, it's Laura Carno, C-A-R-N-O.com.
Okay, great. So another kind of argument that I've seen against, you know, arming teachers is, at least with handguns, if they go up against someone with an AR-15 or an AK-47 or a so-called assault rifle with a handgun, they lose.
Yeah,
I assume,
and that's just not accurate.
tell me about it and what, you know, and how that is approached in training.
Right. So, for the most part, when an armed bad guy in a school situation is confronted by an armed good guy, he or she, mostly he, usually ends the situation on their own. They usually commit suicide or they give up. They want it to end at a time and method of their choosing. So regardless of what they have, when they're confronted with somebody armed, they usually end it. Now, somebody right after Parkland made exactly this point and said, you know, if they're coming in there with an AR-15, that has a bullet velocity of X, and a handgun has a bullet velocity of Y, which is less than X, there's no way you can go up against them. And for anybody who has shot a firearm, whether a rifle, a shotgun, a handgun, you know that the difference in the velocity is it's minuscule. If somebody is firing directly at you with anything and you are firing back at them, it's going to be enough to have somebody firing back at them, regardless of what it is. Is it more difficult because the AR-15 has more rounds than a typical handgun? Sure. That's why we teach reloads, and we expect that they carry their firearm plus extra
Thanks
magazines.
Thanks a lot, Laura. It's great. It was great having you. Again, Laura Carno, Faster Colorado, if you're interested. This has been the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 AM, KVEC.